I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Thank you so much.
I'd like you to start today's episode by doing something that you've probably done in your younger days, maybe with a mirror and a hairbrush. I want you to take a second and imagine you're a pop star. But seriously, here is the scenario. You've been at it for a while. You've released a couple of well-reviewed albums. You've worked your way up from a local indie act to nationally known. You've been nominated for awards. Your songs are on the radio. You've toured worldwide. You've been collaborating with some of your favorite artists, some of whom play in one of the world's biggest rock bands. You're almost done your new album. You've got a European tour ready to roll. It's February of 2020. Guess what happens next? There's obviously nothing that COVID-19 hasn't changed by now, but the way this virus has altered the lives of musicians offers us a look inside an industry that's already changed massively over the past two decades and is changing massively again, right now, in real time. Will the music industry ever really be the same? I mean, when will you feel comfortable going to a packed concert in a crowded bar with no room between you and your fellow fans? How much of what makes one of those performances truly special can be captured in digital concerts from artists' bedrooms and living rooms? What's it like to be a pop star in the COVID era? Well, we asked one. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Hannah Georges is a fascinating songwriter. She's an alternative pop artist that has gone from a local renown in Toronto to worldwide tours and festival headlines and Juno nominations and Polaris nominations. And she was getting set with a new album and a new tour when all this happened. I feel like that's a lot for an intro, but hi, Hannah.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going really well, and I'm really happy to talk to you. And the first thing I want to ask you, because it fascinates me, is how has the songwriting and composing been going during this? Because I know people's creative outputs have varied just so wildly.
Yeah. Well, for me, creative stuff has been coming in waves. And then also, there's times where I haven't felt creative. But I also don't want to say that, because I think even when I am in my creative place, I take a lot of time to just like, I think a lot, I go for walks, I watch movies, and I still feel like I'm getting creative inspiration from things. So, but it has been a bit of a wave for sure. And I think for me, it's important to kind of just take my time with things and not feel overwhelmed if I'm having, you know, times where I don't feel very inspired. Yeah, I guess like there's been some good stuff, and then there's been some times where I've just needed to like take care of myself.
I think the whole world is pretty much dealing with that right now.
Totally. And I think it's okay to kind of, I think it's important that we all do slow down in a way. There's a reason why this is happening, and I have trouble in my everyday life to be okay with like slowing down. So I think it's a good practice for sure.
Well, and you were in the midst of, as I kind of mentioned off the top, prepping for a new album and a big tour. Mm-hmm. And earlier this year, when we started to see the big live shows and the festivals around the country and the world being canceled, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, it kind of like changed every single day, because everything escalated so quickly in early March. And I've had to definitely move timelines around, because I am preparing for an album release and a tour, a European tour that was scheduled in April. That was kind of getting things started with my new music and the new kind of wave of this album cycle. And yeah, it just was kind of crazy early March to be like, okay, we're going. Wait a minute. Okay, let's slow down here. We've gotten a new piece of news that seems a little bit sketchy. Maybe we should just put the brakes on a couple of things and make sure that we don't go, you know, full, like, make sure we warn our team and let all the band members know and tour managers know that this is gonna, like, things are feeling a bit confusing. And then all of a sudden, like, the next day, it's like, okay, flights are canceled. We're canceling flights and everything's over. So it was just, like, so kind of insane to go through that, and just to, like, for everybody, that like just beginning of March period to digest that. And then as time went on, it was like, okay, no May stuff, now no summer stuff, and now no fall stuff. It just, like, and it's a lot to, like, kind of wrap your head around, and a lot to wrap your head around taking shows out of the picture when you're just kind of going back into full swing of trying to put out a record too. So
one of the things that I really want to know about is how this business works or doesn't work, I guess, when tours are not possible. I mean, I think anecdotally, at least, a lot of us have heard that, you know, with streaming taking over from straight album sales and maybe not paying as well unless you get billions of streams, that, you know, being on the road and in front of people and selling merch is the way artists make money these days. And how is that changing?
Well, it's like trying to figure out how everything will work online. There's been, like, a lot of interesting things that I've been seeing with people performing shows online and charging, yeah, working through an online service to promote your shows. And you can do a lot, and it seems like there's a lot. I just do find that there's something about being at a concert and being, like, there in person and having the production that you need. And I have, like, been just trying to wrap my head around, you know, I like watching an artist perform intimate and interactive online to you, but I've also, like, I don't know, there's more to it when you're actually going to see a show at a concert. But there's other avenues. There's, like, placements in music. There's royalties that you make from radio. There's other ways that we all generate income. We're lucky to have that. To have that opportunity to have other sources, but touring and is a big aspect for everybody to generate income. I feel like for me in the short term, I'm like, oh, it's okay. Like, I'll feel good when we start back up in the fall again and we start playing shows. But then I'm like, I'm hearing now that it might not be until next fall. I do have things on the books. Like, my next scheduled date now is at the end of next February. We've pushed everything to then, and we're crossing our fingers that will be okay to be back out there. So yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Have you thought at all about what a socially distanced Hannah George's concert might look like, you know, when you're on stage, and what do you see out there?
I haven't fully digested that. I saw a friend of mine post, she announced some dates this November and December, and she said, I'm in her post, she was like, you know, let's hope for the best, and let's hope that these shows work, and, like, everybody should be wearing masks and keeping distance from each other, and made a joke about, like, let's all look cute and and it'll be great. And then I was like, whoa, that's so crazy to like picture a concert venue with all of us being really spread apart. And, like, I don't know, I don't even like being in crowds, so
yeah.
I don't really like I have trouble going to shows myself. So it's a very hard thing to kind of for me to picture. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, tell me about some of those innovations you mentioned. In particular, I know you premiered one of your songs on a live stream. What was that like?
Very weird. For the first time I did it, I had a little bit of difficulty. For stream that I did, I was logging on to somebody else's Instagram and waiting. It was like a night where there were a few of us. We all had different sets. And so I was waiting and trying to make sure that I wasn't interrupting or somehow able to interrupt the person before me playing their show. I didn't want to hop on their live thing, and then making sure that I was all live. All those things are always kind of, they terrify me a bit. But as soon as I just started to ease my way into it, I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. And I think with all things, it's like everything felt great after the fact, and people enjoyed it and I enjoyed myself. And I think sometimes the things that really scare me, I end up being okay in the end, and I end up enjoying my time. I often feel that way before I play a live show. I just question everything and feel really like nervous before I play. And then the second that I start playing, it's like, oh yeah, this is fine. And this feels great. And I love this.
How different is it connecting with an audience that isn't physically present? I mean, your songs are pretty intimate. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that a live performance really delivers that. How different does it feel while you're singing almost?
It feels very odd because you can't see, well, at least in the session that I did, you don't see the audience backs, and you don't really see the feedback unless you are looking at comments that are just kind of popping up on your screen. So it definitely feels kind of odd. I think there's a, like, Zoom can allow you to see your audience in their own rooms, which is also kind of weird too. So I don't know. It's weird. I like playing. I think now I appreciate playing live, but I also think, you know, how sweet is it to just not leave your house and play a show and do things more simplified and not have to travel everywhere to get to your places? So I think there's positive and negative things to both situations. But for me, you're right. Like, I really like that live. I like being on a stage and creating a mood. And I think it's just going to take some time to figure out how I can make that really great. Just by being on my phone.
So I imagine a lot of the songs on this album were written and recorded in, you know, the months leading up to March and all hell breaking loose. And I want to know if, like, when you look back at those songs now, has their meaning changed since the whole world has kind of shifted?
I don't know. It's a pretty emotional record. It's like touches on some things that I feel like could be relevant to the time that we're in right now. And in general, like, the songs change from writing them to recording them to marketing them to being in a pandemic. there's a lot that I go through emotionally and mentally with how I feel about my music. And I feel like this is a good record to put. I feel thankful that it still feels like, okay, this feels like this might help people, and that the way music feels for me, it felt therapeutic putting together all these songs. So I feel like it'll help people. I hope. That's what my hope is.
When are you releasing it? Do you have a date yet? I know you put out a couple songs.
I do. We're announcing, maybe I can just say the date. We haven't announced our date that we're releasing it. I do know it. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, sure. You can give us a scoop.
Okay, so we're actually announcing the record, the date. It's a bit of a surprise, but it's coming out September 4th. And we're making like an official announce June 16th, I guess. That's the date that we're telling everybody. But just for you, I'm going to give you that piece of information early. So yeah.
Nice.
And we had, you know, this record was supposed to come out in July, but we figured that it might be nice to spread it out a bit. And especially with, you know, the fact that we are postponing touring till next year, it's nice to just kind of keep things rolling, and we're still releasing singles, and then the whole record, yeah, will come out in the fall.
Are you imagining what music looks like, what live shows look like when we come out of this, and what music sounds like and what will change? Because again, music is inspiring and emotional, and this is a time for that.
Yeah, I hope that a lot of artists will take inspiration, and I do see it happening. I think for me too, it's like I'm going to take, and I have been taking time to just think about the record after this, and we're already working on that. And I think a lot of positivity, as scary as this all is, a lot of good is and will come out of this situation. And I think just being positive and looking at those types of things, that what you just said is important. I think there's going to be some good creative stuff. And the fact that we are able, and that I am able, to be home right now and record and have access to it, it's right at my fingertips. Like, that means the world to me, that I can still do what I love to do through this. And I know other people don't have that type of thing. So I don't know.
No, that's a good sigh. It sums up what a lot of us are feeling right now, I think, just trying to find our way.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think just trying to focus on the things that you can control, and focus on the things that are positive is an important thing. And I have to take my advice some days more than others. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, where can people find your music and find out what you're up to, or I guess not up to, on tour?
Yep. you can just find me basically on, I have a website. If you just like look up my name, Hannah Georges, you'll find everything right away. And I keep people up to date on just all my socials. So just Google my name, basically.
There we go. Thank you so much. And thank you for the scoop about your new album. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hannah Georges has a new album out in September, and you heard that here first. That was The Big Story. If you'd like more, you can find them at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, you can email. That address is thebigstorypodcast@rci.rogers.com. And you can subscribe for free, and you can rate, and you can review, and we read everyone. We love it when you say nice things about us. Wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. Claire Brassard is the lead producer of The Big Story. Ryan Clark and Stephanie Phillips are our associate producers. Annalisa Nielsen is our digital editor, and I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. As always, stay safe, stay sane, have a great weekend, and we'll talk Monday.